Now, this is page 54A again. You notice then that the serpent is inside. Pontifex Maximus rules. Now, this is when the papal system took over from the ancient Roman Sixth World Power. The Roman Sixth World Power, the Caesars, were Pontifex Maximus. And the transition to the Pope being the Pontifex Maximus was very gradual. In fact, there's a lot of contention as to who was really the first Pope Pontifex Maximus. But he wore that hat, and we put his picture in there. We've got the head of the serpent. We have the seven, so you'll see that. Now, down the good side here of the Pontifex Maximus circle's ruling, we have some things good. I know thy works, thy love and faith and ministry and patience, and thy last works are more than the first. There are good things within this church, and you'll have to admit that in the Catholic Church there have been believers. We can't cross them all off. Now, in 24, all right, but to you I say, to the rest that are in Thyatira, as many as have not this teaching, who know not the deep things of Satan, as they are wont to say, I cast upon you none other burden. Nevertheless, that which ye have, hold fast till I come. Now, look at the next one down below. He that overcometh, that's the one having victory, and he that keepeth my words unto the end, to him will I give authority over the nations. Now that's that shepherd coming up. He shall rule, he shall shepherd them, if you want to make a note, with a rod of iron, as the vessels of potter are broken to shivers, as I also have received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. Now I've given you what I believe that is that explanation. Now coming down the bad side, that I have this against thee, that thou sufferest the woman Jezebel, who calleth herself a prophetess, and she teacheth and seduceth my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time that she should repent, and she willeth not to repent of her fornication. So there underneath you see the woman sitting on the mountain, for she's then moved from the sixth mountain to the seventh mountain, which is the Vatican Empire. You see the little horn with the mouth speaking great things, which came up out of the sixth Roman Empire, was the Roman Empire, went into the Roman Catholic Empire, and it's the mouth speaking great things and eyes looking to and fro through the earth. And for that head, I had used the fox, the subtlety of the whole system. Now, Matthew 13 has a parable. We're going to get these later together and put them together. Another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven. And this is the seventh, fourth parable. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was all leavened. And so this woman system has leavened this whole church system. And of course, there's many less saved people today than there were way back then. So it's been going downhill. Now we have a warning. Behold, I cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her in great tribulation, except to repent of her works. And I will kill her children with death. All the churches shall know that I am he that searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto each one of you according to your works. The one having an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. And I put Martin Luther there because he was one having an ear. He listened. He listened and changed things. Now, 54B. Now, I've tried to graph them together so you could get a different view of the picture. Ephesus, you had the false apostles and Nicolaitans in the church, but in the center, you had some good and some bad within the church. And then it keeps referring to the one having victory. In Smyrna, we have within this group the synagogue of Satan around the outside. We have some good, and again, this is the one we have no bad. The synagogue of Satan was around it, but we have really no bad stated. You see how it's grouped. Then we come to Pergamos. Here we end up with the doctrine of Balaam and the doctrine of the Nicolaitans mixed into the church. This time the center is the good part, and it has a bad part. having those that have these doctrines. Now, on that church, Pergamos church, you have the serpent, the sixth head of the beast, that's Rome right there, and that's the sixth power, and they're outside. In the next one, Satan's kingdom centers in the church, and it's the seventh power, and we have a political power. Like I've told you, Babylon tapes, when Pope Paul VI spoke at the UN and said he was a sovereign power. And so inside, he's moved this goddess system, the virgin inside, and then the beast himself is governing it. We have good and we have bad. Now, a lot of people do not understand that the Roman Catholic Church system is nothing but this goddess system. If you were Catholic, you might not know either, because I know lots of Catholics that don't know what's going on in their own church. That's not unusual at all. But when I was in college, this Catholic boy, friend of mine, we used to go visit. We'd go from Catholic church to Catholic church. And we'd get in a Catholic church, and we'd look around, and he'd say, "Ooh, I don't know what these things are in this church." He couldn't figure out one Catholic church. And then the next one, he'd say, "Okay, this church I understand," because they vary that much from church to church that he couldn't even figure it out. And so they vary all over. It depends on how they have to adapt to the local situation. They're very adaptable. I had came to my house one day to visit me a policeman from down in South America. And he told me about the Catholics. He was Roman Catholic, how they went up this mountainside on their hands and knees, and they got up this mountain, and they went up there on hands and knees to do penance, to show their devotion to the Guadalupe, to the Lady of Fatima, or whoever they were calling her at that particular time. And he said, "When we got up to the top, then the Catholic Church had a lot of liquor there for us to drink and refresh us from our climb up the mountain." Now, here's what he did for me. And he said, after he became a Christian, he gathered some of these things, and he opened up for me on my table. I'll never forget, as I saw them, he said, "Here are deeds to lots." You'd be interested in this. Karen, you could sell these deeds to these lots in heaven. You better record them. "And here are deeds to lots." You could pick out which street you wanted to be on. You could pick out corner lots, and they cost you quite a little bit. But they sell heaven real estate, and they issue you a deed, and I have seen that deed. And those deeds are issued. Now, only churches in certain areas will do that, because it won't go over in other areas at all. They also, he had certificates that were guarantees that when you arrived in purgatory, Mary would be there to get you out within 24 hours. These also could be purchased for a given fee to guarantee that your stay would be short-lived. They also sold to the people various fire protection devices, such as little birds to put on your thatched hut. When your house burned down, they simply told you that it was the wrong bird for your house. So that's the kind of thing they do. And this goes on. Now we're going to take a look a little bit further, but let's go on to page 55. This is Psalm 23, the one I've been referring to, the one you know pretty well. "Jehovah is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He guideth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." That's the verse I've been calling to your attention. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and loving kindness shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of Jehovah forever. Now here, both rod and staff are a comfort. The rod of the shepherd defends the sheep against the enemies. I understand Revelation 2, 26 and 27 this way. The one having victory and the one keeping his works to the finish of the age shall have authority over the Gentiles. These will shepherd God's slaves. And the ones who came not to know the deep things of Satan. These will shepherd with a rod of iron as a defense of the saints against the enemies, as the vessels of pottery are being shattered. The destruction of the vessels of pottery is in the hands of the potter, the Lord Jesus. Now take a look a minute. We go to Daniel 2, 41. Whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron. It shall be a divided kingdom, but there shall be in it of the strength of iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. Go to Romans 9, 21. Or hath not the potter a right over the clay from the same lump to make one part a vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long-suffering vessels of wrath fitted unto destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory upon vessels of mercy, which he afore prepared unto glory, even us, whom he also called, not from the Jews only, but also from the Gentiles. Now, coming down to the next line there, I cannot explain, back on page 50, the star belonging to the morning. Neither do I find any satisfactory explanation in a commentary. The star belonging to the morning. But in history, I do find an explanation, and we'll come to that shortly. Now we take a look at the next church, which is now the Sardis church. We come now to Revelation 3, which begins with the church of Sardis. This church appears to be present until the return of the Lord, from Revelation 3:3. We'll get there in a minute. Since no human being has lived in Sardis since 1850, Fairburn's Imperial Standard Bible Encyclopedia, Volume 6, page 104, the letter could hardly have reference to a local church that was to exist till the Lord comes. There isn't a thing there now. At 1850, there wasn't anything there. As to the meaning of the name Sardis, the seven churches of Revelation by Haynes, page 77, gives the meaning as those escaping. The Apocalypse by Seiss gives considerable information on the meaning of the name. And we're going to page 56 in a minute. This church is an outgrowth of the Thyatira church. Now here's what Seiss says. I Xeroxed it and put it in here so you can see it firsthand. The name of the fifth of these churches has been variously derived. Some connect it with the precious stone called Sarda, which was found about Sardis, and sometimes used as an amulet to drive away fear, give boldness, inspire cheerfulness, sharpen wit, and protect against witchcraft and sorceries. Others have derived it from the Hebrew and have assigned it the signification of remnant or escaped few. Ebrard finds for it an etymological derivation denoting something new or renewed. And there is a further explanation which derives it from a word which denotes a builder's rule or measuring line. These several explanations, though different, are not antagonistic as applied to the condition of a church. There can be very little combined in one picture. They can be very well combined in one picture. Courage and boldness imply great conflict and danger. In a great contest, many would be vanquished, but a remnant would escape. Those surviving and escaping would necessarily involve new features of life and resume. And in this process of renewal, there would appropriately come in the use of the carpenter's rule in fashioning the new edifice. We accordingly see in this church comparative freedom from the sorceries of the domineering prophetess of Thyatira, and an account of things remaining as though they had with difficulty been saved from some far-reaching and crippling danger, and of some names which had clean escaped from the abounding defilement. So the Thyatira church, dominated by paganism, gives way to the new things of the Reformation. Great Roman Catholic priests openly rebelled against the corrupt church at Rome. John Huss tried to reform the corrupt church. At this time, now you're back at 1412, give you an idea, 1492, Columbus sailed the waters blue. You can remember that easy. Okay, so you see where you are. Just prior to the time of Columbus was John Huss. The Pope was John the 23rd. Now keep this in mind, because this is the only instance of two John the 23rd. The Pope at that time was John the 23rd. We've had a recent Pope, John the 23rd, who has been on the stage of history, which they have given all kinds of credit to. Now you'll watch why. But it must be remembered that there were actually three popes, all vying for power. Huss regarded the scriptures as infallible. Huss was tried and burned at the stake. He died singing, "Christ, thou Son of the living God, have mercy on me." Singing. Huss died July the 6th, 1415. Pope John the 23rd was deposed May the 29th, 1415. He was one of the most despicable criminals the world has ever known. And this Pope, John the 23rd, in our day, remember, chooses his own name. He chose to be named after the most despicable criminal they've known. Now, you do what you want with it, but he's not nearly as secretive as you think he is. All right? The Encyclopedia of Religious Knowledge says, by Schaff, gave me that information. The papacy has tried to cover up these things by calling John the 23rd an anti-pope and electing a second John the 23rd in 1958. Now, that's what they say, but that isn't quite all as true as it looks. So John Huss was a follower of John Wycliffe. We're coming back to that, John 23rd, just a minute. Name spelled 28 ways. If you ever get in this, I found this quite by accident. I couldn't find out in the encyclopedias why you couldn't find John Wycliffe under Wycliffe. Well, it was the way I was spelling it. There are 28 different ways to spell his name, and so it is very difficult to find in an encyclopedia. My sister and I were talking, and she was talking about one fella, and I thought I was talking about another fella, and we're talking about the same fella. But she was spelling his name one way, and I was spelling it another. So we had two different people, but he's one and the same person. Now, look, I gave you a little, see, Wycliffe, W-Y-C-L-I-F-F-E, or W-I-C-L-I-F. It can be spelled that way. 28 ways. The great English reformer, John Wycliffe, was the first to translate the whole Bible into English. This translation was from the Latin Vulgate, not Greek or Hebrew, and he died at about 1384. So you see, it wasn't too long ago. And that was the first English Bible. Now, hold your place there a minute, because we're going to be going on over in a minute. Go back to John the 23rd from the Pocket Bible Handbook by Halley. John the 23rd, called by some the most depraved criminal who ever sat on the papal throne, guilty of almost every crime, as cardinal in Bologna, 200 maidens, nuns, and married women fell victims to his victims to his amours. As Pope, he violated nuns and virgins, lived in adultery with his brother's wife, was guilty of sodomy and other nameless vices, bought the papal office, sold cardinalates to children of wealthy families, and openly denied the future life. Now that's the kind of a man he was. All right, now let's go back where we were. Gregory the 11th was Pope in 1370. The papacy at this time was in Avignon, France, and is called the Babylonian captivity of the papacy. Now, why in the world would you call the time they moved the papacy to France the Babylonian captivity? It's easy for you to see. It should be by now. It's nothing but the old Babylonian Empire going over to Avignon and they called it the Babylonian papacy, and that's the way it is in the history books. Wycliffe died December 1384, but his bones were dug up and burned in 1428 by the order of Pope Martin V. Now here's some more. This is the Babylonian captivity of the papacy. And that's where the palace was. I thought you'd like to see this picture. I mean, a lot of these things are hard for you to find and come by, and I like to stick them in. Now there it is. That's the palace of the Pope to Avignon, where the papal court resided during its so-called Babylonian exile. Quite a building, quite a series of buildings, and very impressive. All right, now, look at what the handbook says. 70 years it lasted, from 1305 to 1377, in which the papal palace was in Avignon. Clement, John the 22nd, richest man in Europe, by the way, Benedict, Clement, then Innocent, then Urban, then Gregory the 11th. Now watch what they tell you about this reign. The avarice of the Avignon popes knew no bounds. Burdensome taxes were imposed. Every church office was sold for money, and many new offices were created to be sold to fill the coffers of the popes and support the luxurious and immoral court. Petrarch accused the papal household of rape, adultery, all manner of fornication. In many parishes, men insisted on priests keeping concubines as a protection for their own families. The captivity was a blow to papal prestige. Now, this kind of sex you'll see in 2 Peter and in Jude, the warning of this terrible system. Within Thyatira, we read that the last works were more than the first. These and many other reformers prepared the way for the Sardis church. It's indeed interesting to note that Schaff's Encyclopedia of Religious Knowledge calls John Wycliffe the morning star of the Reformation. Now that's the only answer I know to exist. They call him the morning star of the Reformation, and he said, I will give you the morning star. And that's the title, and the only one that I know that ever bore that title. And it's in history, but not anywhere to be found in commentaries that I could find. All right, now we go to the next verse. And to the messenger of the assembly in Sardis you write, these things here, the one holding the seven spirits of the God and the seven stars is saying, I know absolutely your works, that you are having a name, that you are living, and you are dead. The next verse, page 58, you be becoming watching, and you fix firmly the other things which were being about to die off. For I have not found up till now your works having been and still fulfilled in sight of my God. You be having in memory, therefore, how you have taken and still take, and you heard, and you be keeping, and you repent. If therefore you might not watch, I will be present as a thief, and by no means you might come to know what sort hour I will be present on you. Now notice this particular thing here. He'll be present as a thief. And that these individuals are in the church and they won't know what hour he's coming. Kind of make you think a little bit, doesn't it? All right, look at the next verse. But you are having a few names in Sardis which soiled not their garments, and they shall walk around with me in white garments, because they are worthy ones. Now the reformers in Thyatira wanted to reform the Roman Catholic Church, not come out of it. Some of you know that from history. Their idea, the early Catholics, remember now, these were priests, and they wanted to reform it. They didn't want to come out of it. They were seeing that there was good in it, and they wanted to get the good to dominate. But sad as it may be, that is not the way the things of the world work. Their intentions were good, of that I raise no question. But the problem is very obvious if you look in your own household. Because if you have a basket of apples, and the basket of apples has 10 bad ones in, you know what will happen to the good ones. They will become bad. And there's no way you can take 10 good apples and put them into a basket of rotten apples and expect the rotten apples to get good. They never go in that direction. In the church or in anything else, they never go in those directions. Everything goes, because Paul kept telling us, evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse. There is only one path. Remember on the course I showed you how they started down from Adam? Down, 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 down they went from Adam. And then you know how he picked up Noah, and the flood came. He took him up at the top, started him again. Down, 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 down went mankind. He picked up Abraham, he put him up again, and he started him, and they went down, down, down from there. Then he took up the Lord Jesus Christ, and he put him on Calvary's cross and lifted him up, and we went up there, and now we went down, 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 down there from there. You go nowhere but down. Nowhere but down. You can't reform. There isn't such a thing as reforming. You can't reform your nature. Your nature is rotten to start with. You can't reform it. You might discipline it, but you can't reform it. It's going to stay the same rotten nature. The only thing that will change it is being new creature in Christ, being born again, and then you become a new creature. Old things pass away, and all things become new. All right. Now, let's go a little further. We must admit that there always have been and always will be some saved people in the Roman Catholic Church, because this church exists until the Lord's return. For the most part, the saved in the Thyatira church are totally ignorant of Scripture. The Sardis church also continues until the Lord's return. Now, that'll become important when we start making the chart. All right, now, let's look at this next sentence. The verb heko, there, see, I've spelled it in English so you can see it. I am present. Occurs first in Revelation 2:25, back on page 44. This same verb occurs twice in Revelation 3:3, above. Now consider some other occurrences in the New Testament. Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for a testimony to all the nations, and then shall the end come. Literally, then the finish will be present. 2 Peter 3:10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall be dissolved with fervent heat, and the earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Look at the margin again. But day of Jehovah will be present as a thief. Thus this verb tells us the Sardis church continues to the finish, that is, till the day of the Lord. Now coming to page 60. I'm afraid we're not going to get very far here, but let's go a little. Wycliffe died in 1384 and Huss in 1415. I considered in the Thyatira church. That is, I kind of myself feel they still weren't in the Sardis church. They died as the better workers at the end of the Thyatira church. Now, that's a matter of opinion and preference, and I want you to know that. There's no way I can decide. God alone would know where they belong and how much overlapping there is between these two churches. I don't know. I often explain it as a cone. A certain church starts back in here and expands and expands in corruption. Or if you like it the other way, it starts good and goes down, down, down to the nose. And then the new one is developing around it on the outside. And then it goes down to the nose. And the new one's developing. So they overlap. They don't go up to the morning of June the 1st, 19, such a number, whatever it is, and bang, the new church starts off with a big fanfare and 16-gun salute and so forth. They don't do that. They're overlapping, and I think we're going to get into a long section here, so we better just wait till our next session this morning. Thank you.